Back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. Coins Plus has been doing business for a couple decades plus. We've worked hard to have a good reputation and, you know, based on fact. Obviously, we want to treat people right and do the right thing. And, you know, we want to please God and help man. That's our goal here at Coins Plus. We are Christian-owned and operated. It's an important part of who we are. We've done a lot of research on competitive, you know, market sectors and individuals and whatnot. And we really do, for this business, a pretty good job. It's not the cleanest business you'll ever see. I hate to break the news to you, but yeah, it's a little bit pawn shoppy out there. But we have built what I like to refer to as the Nordstroms of the coin business, where we have a set of standards: honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction. We're high volume, low margin. We understand that you have to make it possible for consumers to buy and sell. It's interesting. People will come in and they'll buy gold and they'll say, well, I suppose you can't tell me what you pay for it. And it's like, of course I can. You have to know what you're getting into. It's an investment. If you threw your money into an investment and they wouldn't tell you what you could get back out of it, that's not an investment. By the way, keep that in mind. When you get a phone call, because a lot of you, I've noticed, I've talked to you, you know, your mind's in this realm, and you'll get your name on a list, or somehow you sign something up, or free gold, or who knows what, how you got on there. Not that you got free gold, but you wanted it. And then you get telephone solicitors calling you, selling you everything you can imagine. But it's always confusing. It always starts out super simple. One of the big trapdoors in this business that never ends is there's companies like, I can't believe they get away with it, government.whatever.org or US, or they call themselves government. Wouldn't you think? I know it's like the ghetto. That's the government, man. But that's not what they're talking about. They're trying to say it's the government mint. They want you to think it's the government mint, the government. There I go, ghetto again. But It's so deceptive, right? And it shouldn't be. People think that they're dealing with the U.S. government. Not that that's okay. Oh boy, here I go. Because in the coin business, the government, the U.S. Treasury, has actually become a capitalist competitor. Not only a capitalist competitor, the capitalist competitor. They make billions and billions of dollars per year. On coins. They make and make and make, and they have ruined so much stuff. They make so much crazy stuff. You can't even believe it. And, but they have just, it's every month. It's gold coins, platinum coins, palladium coins, you know, silver, you know, 86 different types, and, you know, 17 types of proof sets. I mean, it is so out of control. If you'd been around this industry for long, it would remind you of the stamp craze of the 70s. It was nuts. The Postal Service went nuts because there was profit in it. And this is what they've done with coins. The problem is they've taken so much capital out of the market. All these rare and special modern coins, and for any of you who have any inkling of what I'm talking about, you know, then they take these modern coins and send them all to be graded MS69 and 70, which means the grading scale goes from 0 to 70. MS means mint state, PF or proof, or means proof. Proof, that just because you want to learn something today. The difference between a mint state coin and a proof coin. A mint state coin is a coin that's technically struck to circulate, although that's not the case in modern collectible stuff, but it's called a business strike. They design and carve a die, and in this case, it's all computerized CAD work and different CNC equipment, and then they strike the coin, and then you get that luster and everything. A proof coin is different, okay? When you strike a coin, the piece of metal that you strike to make a coin is called a planchet. A planchet comes out of a sheet. You know, they'll literally make a sheet of gold if they're making gold coins, and they punch out little circles that are planchets, okay? And that those are, you know, those are like cookie cutters, literally. And then they all go together, and then they bang each other up, and they get little scratches and gouges, which is not good. On older coins, a lot of times that pre-strike damage or pre-strike contact marks, a lot of times will remain on the high points of old coins because the high point of the coin is the last part to be struck. The low points of the coin are the first parts to be struck, where the metal actually is pressured so hard that if there's any kind of pre-strike contact, it's abolished by the pressure. And so that's one issue you run into if pre-strike contacts are very heavy. Usually with proofs, they take better care of the planchets. Then what they do is they typically polish the planchet a little bit before they strike a proof. And then when they to prepare a proof die, what a proof looks like when it's done is the field, the low points, the flat field will be mirror-like, where you can see yourself in it. The high points will be frosty. If it's silver, they'll be frosty white. If it's gold, frosty gold. But it's kind of a matte finish. It's a sandblast finish. They used to use sandblasting on the dies, and then they would polish the high points of the die, which become the low points of the coin, and then you'd get that cool contrast. And that wears out fast through what they call die erosion. So as they strike coins, there's so much pressure, and that metal actually moves across the die like water. It literally flows under the pressure, and it creates these microscopic die erosion channels. And then eventually on a proof coin, they strike so many of them. So that what they do is, like I said, now they'll chemically etch the die for a proof, polish the high points of the die, which are going to become the low points of the coin. And then as they begin to strike, they used to strike multiple times on old coins, like 6 or 7 times to get a really heavy proof strike. Now they're striking, you know, maybe 1 to 2 to 3 times. A lot of them are so high pressure now, and the, you know, the technology is such that they're using literally like 100,000 pounds per square inch, and they go fast. You don't want to get your finger caught in there. You won't be able to spend that either once it's stamped. But so the proof, and then what happens is then someone literally white gloves. They white glove the planchet into the die. Well, that's what the hypothetical was. Now they've got this incredible, you know, system that's all, you know, it's got this super soft polymers that hold the coin. And so it technically, and then when they come off the end, they get stacked in between these soft little pieces of whatever, I don't know, polymers again. They've got it down so ridiculous. That's why now there's such thing as MS and proof 70 coins. Those are saying that under a 10 power loop, this coin is perfect. That is absolutely ridiculous. For years and years and years, I mean, it was real men carving real dies, running these, you know, way back in the day when our founding fathers were going, they had what was called a screw press, which each coin you'd have to put the planchet in, and then it had an open collar, which was just this spring-loaded, you know, round thing that you'd put around the edge to so that when you press the coin down, as it pressed out, it would push into this collar and it would put letters on the edge. That's the beginning of reading or reeded edges. Our coins have reeded edges. That's where they have that sharp serrated edge. That was put on there initially because forever people would cut little pieces of silver or gold off the edge of a coin. And over time, that coin would just shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink. It was very common. Later on, once they started they put reading on. So if someone carved into it, you knew they carved, and that there goes the coin hypothetically. That's one interesting point. The other thing is, after they began reading coins, putting reeded edges on coins so you couldn't carve on them, then people started to do what was called sweating, where they would actually dip a coin or multiple coins, quantities of coins, in an acid that would pull off a certain percentage of the gold over time. It would just basically, you know, eventually it just kind of would start to semi-remove little parts of the gold, a very sharp acid. And then they would, you know, take maybe, I don't know, 3% of the coin. Or it just, what it does is it makes the surface of the coin look kind of weird, sandblasty again. It just doesn't look right. Anyone who knows coins can spot them. It's an altered surface. But back in the day, when they were contemporary spending money, no one really cared. They'd say, you know, they might even notice that look kind of funny, but do you really spend time? I mean, if you get a quarter that's kind of messed up or someone did, you don't even care. You just grab it and spend it again. The only problem is back then in the U.S., according to Article 1, Section 8 and the Coinage Act of 1792, debasing currency, it said anyone who debases currency shall be put to death. That's something we've stretched holy menorah. We've taken that one down a long road. You know, you've got the people carving and sweating them to get the gold or silver out of them, right? And that's debasing. And then over time, we get less gold and silver in our coins. That's debasing. The Federal Reserve, that's the ultimate debasement. That's when we took, you know, we got ourselves off the gold standard. There was no more gold in our coins, essentially. That was 1933. That was the end of it. Fully debased. Still on a gold standard. Debased our coinage. You know, and then we had silver. And then we went to tin. To copper, nickel, tin. That's, if that's not debasement, tell me what is. It always baffles me that we took such a sacred principle from our framers that they said, you have to be. You've got to maintain, in other words, Congress, you have to maintain control over the content and regulation of our money. They knew. Money, folks, money is greed, or greed, money breeds greed, or whatever. It never stops. And people will conspire forever to make it work. You've got to have a congressional system. The other thing was, there were, you know, back in the day, you know, we always do that, but the people had, they were more cordial. There's been some rude, obnoxious people, and I know they impeached Andrew Jackson, and, you know, and now they're doing Trump, and, you know, you got Pelosi in the White House storming out on Wednesday, I think it was, or I don't think it was yesterday, it was Wednesday, you know, storming out of the meeting, all pre-planned, goes out, tells everybody, oh, we've got to pray for Donald Trump's emotional state because he had a huge meltdown, you know. No, he didn't have a meltdown. He had a try to talk to crazy Nancy Pelosi about illegal immigration and whatnot, and he's mad. I mean, you know, folks, there's a reason that there's a commandment that thou shalt not falsely accuse. So now we get to see if God's word is faithful. I mean, not mocking him, don't get me wrong, but the fact is, if the Democrat Party is living in sheer sin, where they're at, you know, they're falsely accusing, I mean, they're mocking God, they're mocking good. You got Beto O'Rourke, God's out, you know, guns are out, self-defense is out, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's kind of like the commandment, thou shalt not kill. That is not what it says. Thou shalt not commit murder. The killing of an innocent individual, that is not, thou shalt not defend your home. You shall defend your home. Even Christ, it's covered in the Bible very thoroughly. If you think that God is, you know, foreign to violence, you may want to spend a little more time in the Old Testament. And you may just be able to, if you really view things graphically, you may actually start to get a little bit nauseous if you start to understand the number of people that die. You know, the Assyrians, 185,000 were killed in one night by the angel of death. But what were they there for? They were there for a hack and slash war. I mean, those times were not good and they were not pretty. Little David, the smallest of the sons of Jesse, went out, threw a sling rock so hard it buried in the head of Goliath, who was like 10 feet tall. And they make it crystal clear that he wasn't just a freak with giantitis. They explain that he carried a 250-pound set of armor chainmail and another, you know, like 50-pound metal helmet and a bronze spear that was over 100 pounds and taller than him. And then they explain that David pounded a rock, basically, so deep in his forehead it knocked him loopy. Then he went over and killed him. Then, so he wasn't dead yet, he killed him. And then he chopped off his head, picked it up, said, "Hey, guys, look what I got." And then went back to Saul and brought him the head to prove that he killed this crazy thing. I mean, that's violence. So God, don't, you can't think that God's not, you know, it's, he's foreign to violence. Like, boy, whew, God doesn't go, "Man, that made me cringe. I can't believe that." Well, we all die. We all die. And we don't want to die a heinous, brutal death. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, we all die. What's the difference in an eternal time frame between dying at 50, 60, 70, 80, or 30? You know, I mean, to the rest of us, we're like, well, they didn't get a whole happy life or whatever. But you know what? It's God's timing. We all die. Death is around us. We become so numb to it. Every single living creature, every single living plant, living organism, everything that lives dies. In fact, isn't it interesting that God made it such that everything around us dies, right? But any organism, in other words, everything from insects to rodents, you know, to dogs, to cats, to horses, to elephants, to giraffes, to lions, everything, almost everything on earth lives less time than we do. There's a few exceptions, you know, there's turtles and all that. Well, that's in the ocean. I'm saying on dry land. Why would God do that? Is it because we're a superior build? Or is it because he made those things for our enjoyment and we think of it as our enjoyment? But he's also making the reality of death apparent to us. Everything we appreciate and look at, it dies. God just makes it super clear to us. It's you know, and we're like, "Oh no, that's not the case. That all happened at the, you know, the fall of Adam and all that." Okay. Well, there's something to be said about that too, but it was, you know, the fall wasn't an accident, or there wouldn't have been finite borders on the Garden of Eden. There would have been a planet called the Garden of Eden, and there would have been nowhere else to go because man was supposed to last forever sin-free. I think God knew with free will there was going to be a fall. He knew. He had to know. That's free will. The whole point of our creation, according to Jewish tradition, is because the Torah, the word or wisdom, said, "Hey, you know, what good are you to God as a king if everybody, or you, nobody worships you willingly?" In other words, you need willing servants. So that's why there had to be a fall. But the point is that we see death all around us. We've got to deal with it. We've got to cope with it. Of course, as a believer, all you have to do, well, if you want to accept Christ, you just admit your sin, you see yourself for the way you truly are, imperfect, unable to achieve perfection, that you've sinned against God, your maker, your creator, that you're broken, and that you're a lost soul. And every one of us, I hope, realizes that at some point. And then you ask for forgiveness and ask him to be your Lord and Savior, and that's it. But, you know, there is a hell, too, and they don't talk about that much anymore. But frankly, you know, that's a big secret now. There's a hell, according to the Bible. There's all these arguments. Oh, the Old Testament, they never mentioned hell, and it wasn't mentioned until Christ came and all that. That's not true at all. They had different terminology. I've gone through that. But see, these kids learn this stuff in colleges. I've been put up against these things in various debates with people, and it's just, it's pure foolishness. It's conjecture. It's creating the theory that they want. Much like Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC one time came out and said, "I have a source that says all of Donald Trump's real estate loans are co-signed by Vladimir Putin," you know, and that he got one night's news out of that. And even crazy Rachel McDonald or Rachel Maddow on MSNBC was looking at him like, "Really? Okay, yeah, we'll send you to the nut farm." And it just, they want, if you don't live for the truth, you know, the truth will set you free. The truth is the truth is the truth. There's the Bible, right? I mean, if you don't live for the truth, I mean, I remember before I was a believer, folks, it was confusing because you'd say, "Oh, that guy won that debate or whatever, or that argument." And you think, well, they're making stuff up, and it's whoever can make up the best stuff wins. instead of the truth. And what makes them really angry is the truth is sharp, right? Someone comes at you with the truth and you're like, can't overcome that. And in order to overcome it, you got to get super deceptive, like that shifty Adam Schiff that's running this supposed impeachment inquiry. And folks, the way it works is Congress is majority controlled by the left, the Dems, the socialists right now. And all they have to do is vote to impeach Trump. Then if they say yes, then he goes to a Senate trial, right? They'll do something dirty because a Senate trial would allow them to call any witnesses they wanted. And trust me, they'll hang Hillary out to dry. They'll hang everybody out to dry, Comey and everybody. The problem is they're actually making up their own rules as they go. They're not following any precedent. It doesn't say that in the Constitution that's the way it's supposed to work. The Constitution, not only that, it says specifically high crimes and misdemeanors, bribery and treason. They literally hate Donald Trump so bad that they want to call this what? A high crime and a misdemeanor. It's not even criminal. Whatever they claim he did. They're claiming that he, you know, tried to bribe. I don't even know what you'd call it. He tried to do a quid pro quo, which means trade a valuable for a service or a valuable for a valuable or a thing of value for a thing of value, you know, in exchange to gain something else personally, folks. So then they have to say, well, it was you know, he had to have Biden investigated falsely to hinder his political opponent. No, he's looking into corruption. He's still looking into the 2016 election corruption, which was what the whole point of the Mueller probe was about. They do all this twisting and turning and you know, they've gone from collusion to obstruction of justice. And in this case, they've got, I can't even remember. They changed the terminology yesterday. I can't even keep up with them all. They just keep moving it. And, you know, the number of people in America that say they want Trump impeached has greatly, greatly increased. I mean, so this media mob propaganda lies, this stuff is affecting us, folks. This is Karl Marx's fantasy. This is Marxism at full, in whole, full throttle right now. This is what propaganda does. This is how you turn entire nations against other nations, or they used to. Now they're doing something worse. They're turning the greatest nation against the greatest nation. They're turning the greatest people on earth against the greatest people on earth, right? And the worst thing of all is the fact that you've got this Democratic half that is godless. I mean, I saw a guy debating a pastor last night on the news, and the left guy was saying, well, you know, I'm a man of faith. I come from a whole line of clergy, and he's just spewing all this ungodly trash, and he's against this Pastor Jeffries from, I don't even know where he's from, but he's pretty big, and he's a very, very good conversationalist. And the whole thing is, this is what they believe. They have relatives that are clergy, so they must be religious. And then they have to say, of faith. They don't have faith in God. Then he talked, and there's no faith in the God of the Bible there. It's just like, hey, my dad's a pastor, so I must know. I had a guy come in the shop one time, and he was arguing about the grade of his coin. And you can imagine, when people argue about the grade of the coin they want to sell, they never argue low. They always argue high, because high makes money. And on some coins, you know, it makes more than others. And sometimes if they, you know, they just exaggerate. If they don't know, they don't know. So he's arguing, and I'm just politely explaining why, you know, it's not what he's saying it is. And he goes, hey, I have a friend that works at PCGS. Okay. Well, PCGS is a professional coin grading service. I have friends that work there too. And he then implies, because he has a friend that works at PCGS, he knows how to grade coins. Well, guess what? That association doesn't work that way. It's like saying, I have a friend who does brain surgery. So if you're having a problem, you know, I have a friend who does brain surgery, I can do it for you, right? Trust me, I got a friend. And, you know, things don't transfer over that way. We're seeing this even with Adam Schiff. These guys go to law school. They never practice law. It's absolutely heinous what they're doing. Biblically, you know, when I was getting into the murder thing, thou shalt not commit murder, you know, it's kind of interesting that they're character assassinating, they're destroying. So anyway, I touched on that a minute ago with protecting your house and whatnot. But at the same time, the false witness, the character assassination, the covetousness. You know, I'm just thinking of the Ten Commandments. I guess where I'm just going to neutralize that is just remember what I said. If these people are absolutely founding everything they do on sin, you know, I just talked to a friend before I came in here and I said, you know, it's really getting hard because I said, there's so much vitriol and anger and disgust out there in this political climate. And I said, I don't know what to talk about because I don't want to dwell on it. But I'm telling you, this is serious stuff. I really think it is. And maybe I'm preaching to the choir, but maybe I can get the choir to get up and act or sing. How about that? Get the choir to sing. We're going to make you sing. You got to go sing to everybody you know. You got to just be bold and strong and speak facts and tell the truth and just be diplomatic now. I would say now. I wouldn't waste time. Just stand up. Get people to vote. If you know anybody, folks, I'm telling you, I have been through a lot of elections since I got on the air. I've heard a lot of Christians, oh, I'm not voting. You know, nobody, I don't agree with any of the candidates. Well, too bad. The people worked. The people found candidates. The candidates that you'd probably agree with would not run, okay? Or maybe they can't, or because maybe they've had public exposure before and they've said things that would be held against them or whatever. Trust me, I know. But you have to vote against evil. You've got to just get out and do it. Now's the time. Find out. Are you registered to vote? Where? How? When? Get an absentee ballot. It matters, folks. Spread the news. Tell your friends. If you got out-of-state friends, get them all going. Get the disease going. Get it spreading. This is what, if Christians and conservatives step up to vote this next election, we will crush the left, and they will be left dazed. What will happen? They'll become more angry. Look what happened when Jesus Christ was crucified, you know, tortured, crucified, killed, buried, rose again. Did Satan kick back and go, oh, bummer, I lost that one? No, he got madder. He's going to work harder to destroy God's people. And that is what's going on right now. It sounds crazy. I'm telling you, folks, God chose Trump. You think about, find another guy with his wit and his intelligence and his resume that's conservative and bright, you know, and able to do what's right. I mean, man, I'm telling you, and whose name happens to be Trump. Good luck, right? I mean, it's the truth. Now the guy's resume is, you know, self-made billionaire and president of the United States. He's never ran for any other office. He went straight there. They're so livid. He never sold out. Donald Trump won't sell out. Never will. And they're doing all this dirty, dirty, dirty stuff to him. This is bad, folks. Now we get to find out. You get to see, we worry. Justice will prevail. God chose this man, and I believe that this man has taken the entire office seriously. He's taken responsibility. He's done a great job. He has not used it for personal gain, as they keep accusing him, because they can't comprehend morality and ethics. They cannot comprehend it. They do all this dirty Russia stuff. So what do they accuse Republicans of? Same thing. To a thief, everyone's a thief. That's just the sad part of it. So they can't comprehend there'd be a good side. They cannot make peace at any level. No peace. And they never will. So they can't stand the fact that you have probably the freest, most unfettered president maybe since the very beginning. Since George and the boys. And George's, I've mentioned this, but his departure speech was focused on the destructive nature of the two-party system and what it was going to do in the long run. And they, guess what? They were right. I'm going to look something up here. I got something I want to cover. So here we go. Well, here's what I want to talk about today. All right, now that we're going down that road, and I'll go down a few others, trust me. You know how that goes. I will say quick, folks, you know, the market's been solid. It's been a nice stair-step market. If you've watched the stock market, good luck. It is nuts. It's up, it's down, it's down, it's up, it's up, it's down, it's all over, and it's like, and people are, you know, stocks are, it's crazy. I've seen people getting it from every direction. It doesn't make sense, right? Does not make sense at all. And, but the metals do, you know, they're just, they built a nice floor and they just climb, climb, climb. They're so solid. You always have them. I've lost money in private investments. I've lost money in stocks. I don't mean just lost some. I've had blue chip brand name stocks that have gone to zip. I've had them that have cut in half. You know, they're paper. You are literally betting on man's ability to make a profit and, you know, and pay you last and make a profit in an iffy economy. I don't care what they say. There are certain sectors that have done well. That those are the ones that show off big, and a lot of sectors aren't. And we're seeing economic slowing and all this. And sure, I know the left wants it and all that, but it's actually really occurring because it was kind of artificially driven up. So, you know, just to kind of give you a quick recap of the history of the dollar, the Morgan Silver Dollar, which, by the way, is a terrific investment. I mean, you buy them, you put them away. We buy old estates all the time, and it's just, they just do so well, you know. They just do so well, and they're awesome, and they're part of history, and they're silver, and they don't trade for much over their silver. There's some better dates. And we'll do once in a while. We'll sell someone a roll of Carson Cities when we get it put together, which takes a long time. But there's other better dates too and whatnot. So they're a good investment. So anyway, 1878 was the first year of the Morgan Silver Dollar. It was created under the Bland-Allison Act. The Bland-Allison Act was designed to grow the West. So they had found the Comstock Lode, and it was the largest silver hill on earth. The Comstock Lode was one massive mountain of silver. It was a grayish, whitish mountain. They have photos from the time where men were all over this mountain like ants, just filling up the equivalent of wheelbarrows with the dirt of the mountain because the purity of silver was so high. The Carson City Mint was set up near the Comstock Lode specifically because the purity was so good. They didn't even refine it. They just melted it and struck it. And our coinage was supposed to be 90% pure. The Comstock Lode in certain cases ran as high as 99% purity. So all this silver gets discovered. The Bland-Allison Act says the government will buy it back at a very high price at the time. It was, you know, I don't know, it was 75 cents an ounce or something ridiculous at the time. So all this silver starts going to our government. Our government's buying it. And they agreed that they'd strike the silver into Morgan Silver Dollars or use it to back currency later on, but not now. So they created Morgan Silver Dollars out of these, and they had a ton of them. And they stored them up, and they didn't get released till later, but or a lot of them did, but a lot didn't. So what I'm one thing to understand, 1878, the first Morgan Silver Dollar. They say the purchasing power, well, they say one Morgan Silver Dollar was a day's pay for a very astute like ranch foreman. By today's standards, they say it's the equivalent of about $250. I remember, you know, 15 years ago, they'd say it was equivalent of, or 10, 12 years ago, it was equivalent of $200. Now it's worth the equivalent of $250 to $300 in today's dollars. They say with a Morgan Silver Dollar in 1878, you could spend the weekend in a hotel. You could get all your food, your bath. I guess that was a thing. And then they said, you know, a couple beers at the bar and a cigar and whatever else. You know, what's it cost now to stay at a hotel for a weekend and eat and have a couple beers and, you know, whatever else. I mean, it's a few $100. That's what a Morgan Silver Dollar bought you at the time. So that gives you a perspective of how the dollars dropped. Okay. Now it takes about 300 of them maybe 275 to 300 of them. You go to the creation of the Federal Reserve Act, 1913. We are down now. It was years back. We were down to, we lost 99.5% of the spending power of the dollar by 2013, which was 100 years. 99.5%. In 100 years, the Coinage Act of the United States was created in 1792. By 1892, we had a depression where we were our currency was depressing. In other words, it was going down, or up in buying strength is what I should say. It took less of it to buy more. From 1792 to 1892, the dollar had gained seven times its spending power. By 1913, it was down to about 5.5 times because they inflated their way out of it. They had a depression of 1895, they called it, which was a shortage of money because the U.S. was expanding so fast into so many different areas, they just couldn't get the currency there. And it had unforeseen impacts on economic activity, you know, all kinds of stuff. So they eventually attempted to correct that. They overinflated. They created too much currency, money, if you will. And then we started to have all kinds of other inflationary problems, banks and whatnot. People were sick of it. They were sick of these private banks shutting down. They did not want centralization of banks. The bigger banks took them down harder. So then this whole thing gets concocted. I do have notes on it to cover on another day, but on the Wells Fargo, how about that? Jekyll Island situation, where a certain number of men, they say seven, a very well-known men in 1910, basically met at Jekyll Island. There's a lot more detail how they got there and the trains and how they looked like they were going fishing and hunting and, you know, and covered up and no one knew who they were. And in some cases, the train would pass a connection and then it would back up and connect a real decked out caboose, but nobody else on the train knew it happened. And so these guys all show up and they create this new act. They agreed on it was an unconstitutional collusion between private corporations and the government, which would restrict their lesser competitors and allowed them to create debt-based money, which was secured by nothing but thin air, from which they and their cronies could get rich by endless multiplication of debt-created money and the financial treason that they later named fractional reserve banking. So they were in Jekyll Island to covertly bring the deceits, corruptions, frauds of the centuries-old European central banking to the U.S. In other words, the Rothschilds had arrived. The U.S., our founding fathers who originally penned the U.S. monetary system from, our framers, our founding fathers who wrote the Constitution intentionally created a monetary system that would prevent exactly what I just described, this type of a monetary system from ever entering this country, as they'd already seen the corruption and destruction that this created in Europe, in the Europe from which they fled. This type of monetary system is specifically designed to elevate a few elitists at the expense of the citizens, corporations, politicians, and bankers. That's what the Federal Reserve Act does. Does that sound like socialism to you? It was the implementation of socialism. It was the John Maynard Keynes system. It was the beginning. I keep telling you this. 90 years ago, or no, actually 115, 16 years ago, this was begun. And we played with it. We didn't really know how to really abuse it. 1970s under Nixon, we went off the gold standard. We released all those dollars from the Treasury that were bought during the Bland-Allison Act, or, you know, that were all that silver that was created into silver dollars. Nixon did a huge inventory of the Treasury, millions of dollars worth of silver dollars there, millions of dollars face, apparently, and then they sold them off in various forms of auctions. They released a bunch through the banks. People got into bags and barrels and whatever, and so he let all that out, and then he essentially, well, he pulled us off the gold standard. He said no more. And he said the dollar is the gold standard because of the Bretton Woods Act of 1946, where every country in the world agreed to use the dollar as their oil money. Or I should say every substantial country at the time, our allies. The problem is now, because of oil money, there's a lot of this Mideast money out there that has since come along and become far more great and grand than they would have ever expected. So now we have all these other countries that occasionally one steps up. They know behind the scenes. The countries, the leaders, the dictators that have stepped up and said, I'm not using the dollar, we're not using the dollar, they're gone. Their names are Saddam Hussein, Muammar Gaddafi, you know, Hosni Mubarak, and, you know, et cetera. You can go down there, Sudan and everything else. These guys, they don't play by the rules. They go away. This is the system. This is why the left is so livid with Trump. They can't get the guy. They have nothing. They want to have him assassinated, just like Hillary Clinton has had people assassinated. The guy who took from the DNC all the way to Muammar Gaddafi, who had a treaty with us. Why? Because they wanted to get all the weapons back from Muammar and ship them to Syria to arm their whoever, which I happen to know is ISIS. They were playing a lot of dirty tricks. Obama did dirty, dirty stuff. But guess what? We're not looking for the truth there. We only dig for character assassination, not for truth. That's the problem with what's going on with the Trump scenario. So that, you know, you got a brief on the Jekyll Island thing. Real quick on the dollar. Loss of spending power since the Federal Reserve is obviously ridiculous, right? So I'll just cover real quick, just so you know. We do IRAs, 401ks, rollovers, and rollouts, okay? What's a rollout? That's where you have the proceeds sent to you. I'm starting to talk about this right now. Here's why. You are sitting at, you know, we're getting near year end, give you time to think. If you put, well, if you roll out your money before year end, you will owe taxes next year. If you roll out your money or and buy metals in January, you won't owe taxes until that following April. So you'll have 16 months of growth to pay for your taxes. Have I seen this before? Countless times. Myself, I did it. You know, you pull it out, you sit on it, you wait 16 months, then the taxes are due. The growth of what's there pays for the taxes. I've got good sources, and I don't do this, but I've got good sources, probably some of the most knowledgeable sources, that are telling me within 2 years gold doubles. Okay, that's people I respect that are known, that have been around, and they also have people, know people. This is just real economics. This is what's going on. We are facing hyperinflation. We're going to face some interesting stuff. They're going to do things. You've seen it's no hold barred against Trump. So basically, they will punish us and beat us. It's kind of in order to get Trump to look bad. It's like, well, you know, there's all kinds of scenarios, but it's kind of like holding a hostage and beating him to try to make the father, you know, get mad or do something or whatever. That's what they're doing. They're holding Trump hostage by holding us hostage. They want to destroy the economy. You've got these left-wing whack jobs, Bill Maher and Anderson Cooper. All these people, they want a recession or a depression because they say that's the only way you can get rid of Trump. Who pays a price for that? We do, okay? People say, oh, he put in the greatest tax cut and all that. Well, he gave himself a tax cut. But the way his money's held in assets, it's not, you know, a depression, recession. Maybe it'll affect his business a little, but he's transferred that over to his kids. I mean, they're worth big, big bucks. And they're running it, from what I can tell, pretty darn well. And they, you know, they keep trying to accuse him of this and that. So anyway, well, we do rollovers, rollouts, where you roll out, you have the proceeds sent to you. There's no, don't let the company, especially Fidelity, hold out money for taxes. They'll try. And for good reason, because they hold your money for 3 to 12 months. So if you do a rollout, you make sure you get 100% proceeds. Like I said, Fidelity is the worst. They'll fight you to death, but they're wrong. You know, rollovers, individual disbursements, we do all kinds of stuff to where we help you each month if you need a check, or each quarter, whatever you want. About once a year, we'll get your medals and move them into a separate safe where we can access them, and then we'll issue you funds as you go. We do that for quite a few accounts. And then if you pull your money out as a rollout or you get proceeds, you have 60 days to reinvest into the medals. A lot of people are doing that. That's on 401ks and IRAs. But, you know, some people drag it out too long. Don't do that. If you get the money, just deal with it right away because things come up and you run into hiccups. That's life. You know, anytime you're dealing with money and stuff and companies and people who want to make money, it just gets crazy. So you just want to be wise and prompt and allow for any slack errors or vacations or whatever of employees, right? So if you have direct disbursement, we'll help you get it into a trust account, which we can set up for you. Also, 59 and a half years old penalty is handled the same way. It's not the holding company's responsibility to collect penalties, nor can or should they. Basically, you have, if you're under 59 and a half and you're taking proceeds, there you have to pay an additional tax. It's small, but it's still there. So the difference, a lot of people ask me, difference between rollover and rollout. You know, rollover, like I said, you're taking your money from whatever 401k or IRA, you're moving it over, then we're getting it in where we can put it in actual physical metals that are specifically ascribed to you in your own box, in your own safe here, located, you know, as secure as possible. But it's your metal. It's not paper. You're not dependent on a bunch of other people doing their job right to make a buck. It's God's money. So I believe in it. There's privacy, anonymity, liquidity, transportability. Think about that. Privacy. No one knows you have it unless you want them to know. Anonymity. You move it, sell it, buy it. There's no, it's anonymous. People always ask, how much can I buy without being reported? Unlimited. There is no limit. You can buy millions of dollars. There's no reporting. The only reporting you're ever coming up against is the $10,000 cash law, okay? And, you know, there's, you can use cashier's checks. You can bring cash, too. Don't even worry about all that. It's just, they're just looking. Anymore, folks, people ask me this about dealing in cash, and I'm like, do you realize the banks now report every single transaction over $3,000 to the IRS, technically? They feed it into this massive database. From that database, they have algorithms that look for major outliers. It compares tax returns, Social Security income, and all these different things, asset bases, and they know your address and what the value of your home is and what you owe and all these things. It compares it all together to determine if there's a red flag. You won't pop out, trust me. I've been doing this for a long time. We've bought and sold many hundreds of millions of dollars plus, and I've never heard of one person getting popped on that. So don't worry about that. There is no reporting. You don't have to worry about it. People are so worried about the IRS. Oh, they're going to come after me, you know, Nazi Germany thing. The problem is, folks, a lot of people don't realize how much a lot of people invest. So people will come in and get a couple grand or a few thousand dollars worth of stuff, and they're worried about this. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, we have customers that have spent millions and millions of dollars. Those are the ones that I would think they'd look at. When you're way down, you're not going to get noticed. That doesn't even show up. But the bottom line is, even if it does, it's yours. Once you buy it, like I said, it's liquid, it's anonymous, it's transportable. I mean, but the keyword is anonymous and private, right? No one knows what you did with it. Maybe you lost it gambling. Maybe someone stole it and you don't know where. I mean, I don't know, you know. But once it's yours to do with as you choose. If you want to go throw it in a lake, you can do that too. So if anybody ever did come looking for it, you know, I don't know. Maybe it got stolen. Maybe you didn't store it right or something, and who knows. But it's just a food for thought. So I think these aspects of metals are why God made them and why we should consider them in our investments. These are the reasons that God of the Bible designed a monetary system that creates complete and total anonymity. Think about it. That's the way we're supposed to be. Then only God knows, right? Or we know. Our friends, relatives might know, but just us. It's private. It's anonymous. It's untraceable and untrackable. Our monetary system now, paper, 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 it can't be more trackable. And how about the fraud? I mean, we just had a deal here recently where somebody got a hold of my wife's debit card, you know, and obviously a really mature person because they were buying a bunch of 99-cent online video games. But, I mean, you know, I guess with anonymous cash, they can steal that and it's theirs. But the point is that the fraud and whatnot is so much higher under this system than it ever could have been with precious metals. So they create a system like this, and then what? Uh-oh, we have a problem. We can't look back and say, you know what? We breached God's financial system, and therefore we're paying the price. No, no, no. We have to add to the problem. So eventually, what are we going to get? Oh, well, we got identity theft. How are you going to ever prove that you're really you? Well, gosh, you know, you need something embedded in your body. That's the only way. Plus, who wants to carry a big, you know, wallet with all these credit cards? Oh, man. You know, you can do Apple Pay. You can hook up your telephone so that it carries your notes and your credit cards. But, oh, wait, some power hacker out of Russia figured out how to get through that and was hacking people's Apple phones, and Apple denied it. But then what did they do? They came out with that big patch. People were getting into your phones and getting your information and all your private information, your calendars, your scheduling with doctors, you know, your medical conditions, your financial information, your passwords, all this stuff. This is where we go. This is why we cannot be far. See, we look right now and we go, oh, we're not there yet. Okay, did you think we'd be there yet on socialism? I mean, did you ever think socialism would take off so heavy, so hard, and so fast that it would become socially palatable, that idiots turn on the TV and whatever they hear, they believe? I mean, 10 years ago, it would have been the stupidest thing if you told me that was going to happen. So when they get ready to embed a microchip in you, guess what? It's going to be too late. Now, they have removed all religious exemptions from people who refuse to vaccinate their children. I'm not doing a radio show on vaccinations today, but I'll tell you what, that's a scandal you can't even imagine. There's so much evidence. It's crazy how bad they are for you. But it's huge money, and the government now is pushing them, and they're coming up with all these things. If you're a mother who cares about your child, let's say your child has visible reactions to a vaccination. Doesn't matter. They cannot go to these daycares. They're getting blackballed. Schools, all of it, name it, private schools, everything. Because there's always enough guppies out there that are buying the lies. We've had the huge mumps and measles outbreak in North Spokane. Took over all of Meade. 85% of the people were vaccinated. What'd they say? Oh, it's because of the other 15% that wasn't. Wait a minute. What? How can, if 85% is vaccinated, how can they catch it? The concept is, well, if everybody's vaccinated, then there'll be no disease, so you won't get sick, but how can they not, you know, if they were vaccinated, they wouldn't carry it, but those that are vaccinated get sick from it. This is how stupid it is. And when people started to figure this out and say, this makes no sense, then they came out later and said, our mistake. We actually found out that this strain came from a guy from Africa. And so it was a completely different strain that wasn't never immunized against or vaccinated for. Total lie. Like they are going to be able to go through all these measles and mumps that went on for a year and track it all back to one guy from Africa? I don't think so. So, folks, when they get involved in science and medicine, it's when you know it's bad and it's wrong. Trust me. Watch. We're living near end times. You are going to see, if you're going to be around for a couple decades, you're going to get to see the government trying to ram microchips into you. We're getting there. Conspiracy man's talking. It's true. I promise. Right? So anyway, what I was saying, you know, stocks, paper money right now, they're very high, downside way greater than upside. But you are betting on a company's ability to make a profit and pay you a fair return in what is becoming a challenging economy, especially upcoming soon. You know, whether the small caps to high risk or, you know, to get a good return, or large cap corporations that are solid but produce little or no gains, or and irrational volatility, you know, rollouts is something to consider. They put you off the grid for complete and total privacy. Rollouts, taking your money out, buying metals and holding them securely and privately, greatly expand your investment options with no limitations. Rollovers are limited to a stringent list of bullion products. You can get a lot more flexibility by rolling it out. And it's something that I've done. I would do it. It's just over time you want to own it. 401ks and IRAs, tax deferral, you pay it all someday, and you pay it all bigger and badder because you have more money and it's at a higher tax bracket. If you pay the taxes every paycheck like I have, and then just take the money out and go buy metal, then it's yours forever, or coins and things that go up 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 times, that's yours. It's private. It's anonymous. It's off the grid. There's no 1099s. You win. That's the goal. And you know, it's worth considering. Or roll out part of it and roll over part of it, or roll it over and then roll it out, or whatever. But I mean, you want to get that money back in your hands. If things get weird, folks, and they always do in history, you're going to wish you had that metal in your hand. There's so many things we could get, you know, these electromagnetic pulse thing. There's just a lot of stuff I don't have time to discuss, where you'd want to grab wealth and go and be prepared to protect yourself too. Because I'm not kidding you. I'm not so sure that that's unlikely. Once communication's destroyed, we're in trouble. So thanks again for tuning in. I've discussed before. Please give us a 5-star review, a positive review on Google Business Related. Okay. And call us. We'll give you a nice Morgan Silver dollar. You do 3 of them, Google, Yahoo, like I say, Yelp, Facebook, whatever, do 4. Prove it to us, or, well, we'll say Yelp, Yahoo, Google for starters. Prove it to us. We'll give you 2 nice Morgans, old from the 1800s. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget about us. Come and see us. Call us. Let us help you out. Take care. God bless. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.